question was, if you could be any animal, what would you be? And I thought to myself, I don't think anyone is going to pick the peculiar animals that I have found pictures of. And I was saying to Karen as she came up, I was going, so, you know, what sort of animals have we got on the back? And there are dogs and there are cats. I think somebody had a frog. Somebody had an eagle. Did you have the frog? No, did you have an eagle? No? You had a sloth. A sloth. Perfect. No comment from your family on that one. What other animals did people choose? Somebody chose one that I really was not expecting. What did you choose? A falcon. Ooh, that's a good one. So you could soar through the sky. Excellent. Who's the clever person who put the one I thought no one would put? Lives in the ocean. Lives in the ocean? Right, very, very, very low down in the ocean. What did you put? A blobfish. How many people have heard of a blobfish? Okay, well, in a moment, strangely, we're going to have a picture of a blobfish. Isn't that interesting? So, creation, days 5 and 6. God created all sorts of animals and birds. And I wonder, it's not coming up on the screen. It's coming up on my thing, but it's not coming up on the screen. Oh, don't do this to me. Can we try connecting to the laptop again? Does it work if you disconnect and reconnect or something? Right, start praying. Dear God, please make the technology work. Okay, let me just try coming out of it here and going back into it. Okay. Right. Okay, so I have got a selection of very peculiar animals. And I wonder if anybody knows what they are. You might recognize this one, actually. Does anyone know what this one is? It's not a bat, it is an eye-eye. Yes. So, an eye-eye... We're going to have fun with this because it's not working on the clicker. An eye-eye is a kind of lemur. It lives in Madagascar. It is the largest nocturnal primate, and it has a fascinating way of getting its food. It's got a very long middle finger, and it taps on trees, and then it gnaws a hole in the tree and uses its very long middle finger to hook out the grubs from inside the tree, and then it eats them. Isn't that disgusting? You thought that nose picking was bad enough, but the eye-eye pulls out grubs and eats them. Okay, the next one. I might have to just keep doing what I was doing before. So if I come out, I think it's my computer. Okay. Let's try. Okay, maybe it will work with that. This is a beautiful animal. Does anybody know what this one is? It's not a reindeer. It's called a maned wolf. And you find them in South America on the grasslands. Actually, it's not a wolf. It looks a bit like a fox. It's not actually a fox either. But you get them across South America. So a maned wolf. Oh, my computer really doesn't like me today. Let's try again. Okay, what about this one? Yes? It's not a blobfish. No. You were listening, though. I'm impressed. It's actually called a Dumbo octopus. Or Grimpotenthis. Grimpotuthis. It lives between 3,000 and 4,000 meters down in the ocean. They're about that big, normally. Their average is about that big. The largest that's ever been found was 5'9". I'm 5'9", so the largest one was the same size as me. That's amazing, isn't it? So that is a Dumbo octopus. What about this one? Hang on. Ah! It's there. Does anyone know what that one is? You might have seen that one. Yes. Perfect. It's a star-nosed mole. And you find them in the lowest, in the wet, low areas of North America. It's the size of a hamster, apparently. And it's got 22 appendages, 22 things that stick out around its snout. And they have got feely bits in them, 25,000 minute sensory receptors like the end of your fingertips, and they're called Eimer's organs. And it can feel its way through the ground, and it feels its prey that it's going to eat, worms and things. I think if I saw that coming, I'd die of shock. I'd be an easy meal. What about the next one? So, this one. He's really sweet. Anyone know what that is? It's called a Sunda Colugo. And it's a Malayan flying lemur. That's another name for it. Actually, it's not a lemur. And it doesn't actually fly. Who knows why they call them that? But you find them in Indonesia, Thailand, Malaysia, Singapore. And that is 70 centimetres nose to tail, so about that big. It's beautiful. It lives in the trees, and it comes out and feeds at night. And it's threatened at the moment by deforestation and by subsistence farming. So it's actually under threat. I've never seen one of those before. Here's another one. Let's try this one. This is the most peculiar way I've ever found of showing a PowerPoint. Right, this one. Anyone know what that is? Unless you've heard of it in the last 12 years, it was only discovered 12 years ago. Do you know what it is? It's not a yellow-feathered lobster, though that would be a very good name for it. Any other ideas? Yeah, what do you think it is down here? What do you think it is? A furry crab. You're getting closer. It's actually called a yeti crab. Or a kiwa hirsuta. And it's found in the South Pacific Ocean. So it was discovered in 2005. He's rather magnificent. Okay, we're getting there. What about this next one? Hang on. There we go. Right, what's that? It's a blobfish. So why would you want to be a blobfish? Sorry? Hasn't got any bones, no. No. It's an interesting creature. It lives, again, it lives really, really deep down in the oceans off Australia and New Zealand. And it hasn't got any bones. It's a kind of gelatinous mass that is slightly less dense than water, which means that it can float just along the bottom of the ocean above the sea floor, and it doesn't need to use any energy to do so, really. So that's why it doesn't have bones, it doesn't seem to have muscles. Not quite sure what the point of it is, but there you go. And the last one, you might know this one. Just come back to that one. Okay. That one. Very very sweet. I think it has got paws somewhere. Does anybody recognize that? I've seen these on wildlife programs. It's called a jerboa. A jerboa. It's a hopping desert rodent. You find them in northern Africa, Asia, and it lives in hot deserts and is very tasty for little owls, apparently. So it has to hop around to get away from the owls. And I guess if the sand's very hot, it doesn't want to get its feet too hot, so it moves a lot. So there we go. Right. One more question. How many different species of animals do you think there are in the world? How many different species of animals do you think there are? Rough guess. Let's have a rough guess. Anybody? Jess, what do you think? 100. More than that? More than that? Yes? 200 million. Not quite that many. Not quite that many. Over there, what do you think? More than a million? Nope, not quite that many. 1 million. More than a million. Last guess? Nope, not quite that many. So there are 7,700,000 different types of animal. 7,700,000. 7.7 million. That's an enormous number of animals. And some of the ones that we've looked at, you might never see in the wild in your life. There are some animals that still nobody has ever seen anywhere. They're still discovering new species of animals in the world. So of those 7.7 million, I think it's actually, people who said about a million, I think it's between a million and a million and a half that have actually been named and recognized. So you're actually quite close there. But they reckon there are another 5 million at least that nobody's actually named yet. Animals of all sorts, big ones, small ones. I guess the big ones we know about, but tiny ones, there are loads. So coming back to the Bible, which is where we should be really this morning, we're looking at that story from days 5 and 6. And there are some phrases that come over and over and over again. And the first one is, "And God said." So in our creation story, we've heard over and over again, God said. He said, "Let the water teem with living creatures." God said, "Let the birds fly above the earth." God said, "Let the land produce living creatures." And God said, "Let us make mankind in our image." God had an idea, and he said it out loud. And in the act of saying it, these things were created. So God's voice is really powerful. When he says things, he can bring things out of nothing. And it said God made the great creatures of the sea, like the blobfish. He made every living thing that moves in the waters, like the yeti crab. He made every winged bird according to its kind. I didn't do any pictures of birds, did I? But falcons and eagles, parrots, sparrows, all of those things. He made the wild animals. He made the livestock, which are the animals that people could farm. He made the creatures that move along the ground, like snakes and lizards and insects. And then he made mankind, men and women. And it says he made us in his image. So God said, and then he created. And then each time it says God saw what he'd made. And he saw that it was good when he made the creatures in the sea and the birds in the sky. And he saw that it was good when he made all the animals that live on the land. And after he'd made mankind, he looked at everything he'd made, and his conclusion was, it was very good. So when God makes things, They are good. They're beautiful. They're amazing. And then there's one more thing that God did when he created things. It says he blessed them. So he said to all those animals, he said, be fruitful and multiply. So maybe he made just a few, and then he gave them the ability, like we looked at plants a few weeks ago, he gave them the ability to have babies, to make more animals. And he said, be fruitful, have lots of babies, have lots of puppies and kittens and little fish and little birds and all those things, and multiply. Fill the earth. Increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it, he said to people. So he blessed the animals and he blessed the people. And then he gave them an instruction. He said, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So in these creative moments that we've been looking at, let's come back to that. And if I whiz through, you can't see, but I can see what's going to appear on the screen. Eventually, this was a long PowerPoint. I worked really hard on this PowerPoint, just like you to know. Okay, let's see if we can get to this one. Oh. So, God said, because he had a plan, he spoke his plan, and he still has a plan today for us and for our lives. God made things because he's so powerful. He could create out of nothing. And the God that we worship and we come to meet together today still has that power. God saw all that he'd done and he watched over it and he still watches over us and cares for us. And God blessed all he'd created. And he still longs to bless us today. So this story that comes from the Bible that was written by people centuries and centuries ago still tells us things about God that are as fresh and lively as they ever were. And then you'll notice that it said, I want you to rule over the land. I want you to rule over the animals and the fish, to look after them, to care for them. And the phrase that came into my mind was this one from Spider-Man. Actually, originally, apparently, it was by Voltaire, not Spider-Man. With great power comes great responsibility. And we could look at God and say that. God has great power and he takes responsibility for us. But he gives us responsibility and power to care for his world, and we need to make sure that we are looking after it.